just want to ask as we open up the Bible this week, that you might continue to speak to us as you do, continue to fill our minds with your Spirit so that we might perceive and understand and really receive your word as your good word towards us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last year in July, two young Canadians, and I put up a picture over here, Louis and Etienne set off to walk the Kepler Trail in the Fiordland National Park in New Zealand. It's actually a trail that Jeff Terrence and I were actually planning to do at some point. Our wives might not let us do it after this. As they walked the Kepler Trail in July last year, they were caught up in an avalanche, which wiped them off the mountain face about several hundred meters down, which eventually buried them and suffocated them. This was in July last year. The 2 days before walking this trail at a service station, the service station attendant, Diane Homer, recommended they not attempt the track because there was very, very heavy snowfall that July. There were signs of incoming snow. It was getting dark, it was sleeting, and the forecast was going to get worse. But Louis and Etienne, though they heard her, they weren't really listening, were they? They said they were used to worse weather in Canada. Beverly Thorne, who hired out tramping equipment, had also warned them against walking the trail that July because she said there would be avalanche conditions. But Louis and Etienne, you know, they heard her, but they weren't really listening, were they? They told her, being Canadians, they were experienced in snow and winter conditions. A former track guide, Shirley Muat, actually had also met the men, who also advised them and said, don't do that, it's far too dangerous, there was too much snow, and walking the trail on the top end of the sections of the track would be too dangerous. But Louis and Etienne, again, they heard her, but they weren't really listening, were they? They told her they really wanted to walk the trail. Finally, Karen Amerongan, a ranger at the national park, told them the Kepler Trail should not be done because of heavy snowfall. And they were given an alternative track to walk, not the Kepler Trail. But Louis and Etienne, though they heard her, they weren't really listening, were they? Because they still walk the Kepler Trail. The coroner's report actually said that it was their failure and their unwillingness to listen to advice that led to their death. They heard, but they weren't really listening, were they? And here's the thing, isn't it? Just because you hear doesn't actually mean that you're listening. And that's what Jesus tells in this parable that Tim actually just read for us. According to Jesus, hearing something doesn't mean you're actually listening. Now, there is an outline in your order of services so that the verses are actually there for you, so you can always go back, have a look at what's happening. But think of what's been happening in the last 3 weeks. We've begun Mark's gospel. We've begun this journey with Jesus, and you discover that Jesus comes onto the scene in Mark chapter 1, and he claims to be king of God's kingdom. He begins to teach about the kingdom of God. And then he begins to call people to repentance and to trust in his rule, in his kingship. And then you notice that he offers forgiveness of sin. He says he's come to call sinners to himself. And then we saw last week, he offers salvation to those who are struggling to meet God's standard in life. He offers salvation to those who are prepared to rest in his work for them, to rest from their guilt, to rest from their performance-based lifestyle, to rest from their good works and trust in him. And then there is a passage before this, which we didn't look at, where Jesus claims to be the stronger man who releases and frees people who are bound to Satan's kingdom. And so Jesus makes all these claims. Everyone hears Jesus, but it doesn't mean that they're actually listening to him or responding to him. And that's what's happening as you come to chapter 4, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, or we put it up there for you, you discover chapter 4, verse 1. We begin in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. You see there? The crowds had gathered around him. They were so large that he got into a boat and he sat it out on the lake, while all the people along the shore, gathered along the shore at the water's edge. Now notice that word again. That's the first thing. Jesus began to teach. The crowds have again gathered. They come to Jesus because he's healing. He's performing miracles. He teaches with authority. They see his power at work, so they've gathered. And they gather, notice, along the shore. Now, I've put an alternative translation because the same word for sure is actually going to be used in the parable of the sower. It's the soil or the ground that Jesus speaks of, the good soil, the bad soil. They are and so what's actually happening here is that the crowds have gathered around Jesus and they're standing on the shore, the soil, and they are receiving what? Jesus is teaching, Jesus' word. They're hearing him teach. They hear his voice. They hear him speak. Can you see what's happening? Jesus is sowing. He's sowing the seeds of his word, and they are receiving the seed of his word. The king of God's kingdom is actually sowing his word into the lives of all those who are present, all those who are hearing. That's what's happening here. And in light of what's happening, right, the four chapters, this is what's been happening, Jesus begins to tell them this parable. It's really a parable on those who hear and those who listen. Because there is a difference between the two in the parable Jesus tells. Everyone hears Jesus, but not everyone listens to Jesus. And as he sows his word into the lives of his hearers, it reveals different soil. And so have a look at verse 2 to verse 9. It's a very familiar story. The majority of you here will know the story because we've heard it before. You've learned it in Sunday school or in extreme. It's the parable of the sower and the four soils. If you're a parent, you probably told this story to your kids. Farmer goes out to sow his seed, simple story, and he is generously sowing. Some of the seeds we read, they fall on the walking path, some on the rocky ground, some on the thorny ground, and some fall on the good soil. And really what we're told is that if the conditions are right, the seed grows, right? You don't have to be a gardener. You don't have to be a farmer to know that. Okay, the seeds that fall on the walking path, which is the first picture over there, what happens? The birds come and they eat it up. Now, if you've never done your garden, you probably don't realize this, but I've actually seen that. For the last 10 years, I've had dried patches of grass on our front lawn. Nothing has ever grown there. It irritates me. There's just dried patches of grass. Nothing grows there, just dirt and soil. And so what do you do? Well, this is what I did. Went down to Bunnings, bought a whole pack of grass seeds. And for 10 years, every so often, I throw these seeds onto the ground. I water them. And guess what happens within half an hour? The birds actually do come down and they sit and they actually eat up those seeds. And so for the last decade, 10 years, we've had patches of soil that the grass never grows because every time I put seeds down, the birds actually come and they actually eat those seeds. That's what's been happening over here. It's there, next moment it's gone. And so I'm done. I finished the box of seeds, not buying another box of seeds. Then you've got, notice the seed that falls on the rocky ground. Doesn't have much soil. And in the world of the Middle East, you really couldn't tell good soil from bad soil. Why? Because the top soil looked good. But beneath the rocky soil, or beneath that good soil, was a layer of rock, a limestone base. And so what actually happens? The seed falls on the rock. It grows for a little bit, but the roots are never deep. So when the sun comes up, there's no nutrients, there's no water. It dies. It withers in the heat. And then you've got the seed that falls among the thorns, and the weeds actually grows alongside it. It actually chokes it out. It doesn't bear any grain. And then you've got, finally, you've got the seed that falls in good soil. It comes up, it grows, it produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times more. So it's a pretty straightforward story, isn't it? Not a very complicating story, simple story. And then the interpretation comes to us in verse 13. And now, it's a very simple interpretation. Jesus actually tells us what the parable is about. Jesus himself tells us in verse 13 to verse 20, and there it is, verse 14, the farmer sows what? The word. See there? The farmer sows the word. And in verse 15, some people are like seeds along the path. Verse 16, other people like seeds sown in rocky places. Still other people like seeds sown among the thorns. And still others like seeds sown on good soil. Can you see there? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is actually saying, it's about you and I. It's about you and I and how we hear his word, how we hear him. Not just any word, how we hear the words of Jesus. Like those who stand along the shore, the soil. Jesus is the farmer. He's sowing the word. He's been doing that for the last four chapters. The king of God's kingdom, he is speaking. He is teaching. He is calling us to repent and turn to him. He's offering us forgiveness of sin. He's coming to call sinners. He's offering rest to those who are working, trying to save themselves. He's offering rest to those who are struggling under the burden of guilt. And he comes and he claims to be the stronger man who is able to free all who are enslaved to Satan. And so Jesus is the farmer, and he is sowing the seed of his word. And Jesus says, as the seed of my word falls into your life, as you hear me, everyone hears, but not everyone present is really listening, are they? They're not. Because notice verse 15 and verse 20. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. They walk out the door, and that's it. It never continues in their life. Others, like seeds sown in rocky places, hear the word, and once they receive it with joy, there is enthusiasm here. But since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. It goes out, maybe lasts 2 or 3 days at work, and then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, when it gets difficult, they fall away. And then you notice still others, like seed among thorns, they hear the word. They receive the word. They love it. They respond to Jesus about the worries of this life. They walk out the door, and in a couple of days, in the midst of the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, and the worries of life, the word of Jesus is choked out, and they are unfruitful. And then there's still others, like soil sown, like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it. That is, they receive it, they welcome it, they embrace it deeply in their lives, and it produces a crop. As time goes by, there's a crop of 30, 60, some 100 times what is sown. Now, you notice what Jesus says. Everyone hears his word. You see there, the seed of his word falls on all four soils. But not everyone is really listening, are they? Because the word sown is not always fruitful. It doesn't always bear fruit. You've got those four soils. The word of Jesus falls on the walking path. It's heard, but as soon as it's heard, it's gone. The word of Jesus falls on rocky ground. It's heard and it's received with joy, but it doesn't last, does it? Because when things get hard, it's left behind. The word falls on thorny ground. It's heard and it's received. It starts growing, but notice the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things chokes the word out of the life of the hearer. You see, everyone hears, but not everyone's really listening, are they? Because the word sown is not always fruitful. It's not always received. It doesn't last. The word of Jesus falls on good soil, and there it's heard. And notice, if you have your Bibles, it's accepted. It's welcome. It's embraced. It's actually held on to. And so some soil produces 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And you'll notice only in one soil, is the word of Jesus heard and accepted. Received, welcome, embrace, and fruitful. Only in one soil, and that's the good soil. Now, what's the parable about? The parable really is about a lesson in hearing. In hearing Jesus rightly. It's a hearing check, isn't it? Here's the thing, isn't it? Most of you have never gone to have your ears checked. You've never had a hearing test, have you? Right? I know that, you know, as you get older, you get to Jeff's age, he's cutting 50 this year. He's probably got to go and have his hearing tested. As you get older, you do a hearing test. So most of you think, look, you know, when I'm 50, 60, yeah, I'll get a hearing test. But guess what? Jesus actually says here, here is a hearing test for those who hear my word. It doesn't matter whether you're 50, it doesn't matter whether you're 60, 70. You could be 15, you could be 20, but here is a hearing test. It's a hearing test because everyone hears Jesus, but not everyone really listens, do they? Notice how Jesus begins and he ends the parable. Verse 3, he says, listen, exclamation mark. Listen, he says. And you know how serious it is, you know, when that happens, you know, when mom and dad, you know, the voice, tone of voice changes. There's an exclamation at the end, right? Chester, listen. Okay, when Carr says that to Chester, oh, that's serious, right? He's got to listen. Not just listen to what she's saying, but interpret very carefully what she's saying. What are the implications for him? Right, teacher at school says to you, right, Gary, listen to me. And he's got to think very carefully about that. It's not a random thing. Realize who is speaking to you, who is before you, who is calling you. And that's what Jesus is doing. In light of what's happened in the last three chapters, he now comes and he says to his hearers, listen. Listen very carefully. Jesus comes as King of God's kingdom. He demonstrates his power over the spiritual world, over the physical world. He offers forgiveness of sin. He offers rest from your performance-based lifestyle, rest from religion, rest from guilt. And he comes and he says, listen very carefully. Which soil are you? Because everyone hears me Many people like me. Many people love me. But not everyone is really listening, are they? Look at the four soils. Which one are you? And that's why the parable ends. You notice verse 9. Then Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Because everyone hears me. They hear my teaching. They see my power. They hear my claims. They see my authority. They see my healing. They see my power. But they're not really listening, are they? Because this is what's happening according to Jesus. He's actually sorting us out. He's sorting out his listeners from his hearers. And so his disciples come and they say, look, you know, why do you speak in parables? Because it's confusing people. And Jesus tells them, verse 11, the secret of the kingdom of God, right, has been given to you. You're on the inside, so you know who I am. I'm the king of God's kingdom. And then he said, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Why? So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Here's why. So that they see but not perceive, so that they hear but not understand. Why does Jesus do that? He does it because he's sorting out soil. He's sifting the soil. He's dividing up his listeners from those who only hear and those who listen and respond rightly, those who are really listening. Because some will be like seed that fall on the walking path. They hear Jesus, but they reject him immediately. It reveals that they are the walking path. Some, they are like the rocky ground. They hear Jesus. They are drawn to him. There is some growth. But once the demands to follow him get too hard, they give up. They drop out. Some, it's revealed in their lives over time, they are like seeds that fall on thorny ground. They hear Jesus, they show some growth, but because they're attracted to everything else in the world around them, eventually Jesus gets pushed out. It reveals their thorny ground, but still others, it reveals that they are good soil. Can you see what's happening? This is what's happening. They are ever seeing who Jesus is. They're ever seeing who Jesus is, his power, his authority, but they never perceive who he really is. They hear what he says about who he is as the king of God's kingdom. They hear his claims to offer forgiveness. They hear his claims to free them from their performance-based lifestyle, to trust in his works. He promised they hear him teach about freeing them and giving them rest from their guilt in life. They hear it all, but notice they don't understand. And so they're shown to be bad soil. They're shown to be the walking path, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. They are excluded. They're shown to be on the outside. The sower sows his seed, and it's revealing the soil present. That's what's happening. Everyone hears, but not everyone listens to Jesus, do they? And so notice how Jesus ends this section of Mark's gospel. Comes to us, verse 21-25. He ends with a word of warning. You see there, he said to them, right, lamp or light or torch. Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, what do? Don't you put it on its stand? Why? Because light is meant to be seen. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. You see, what does Jesus desire to do? He comes as light. He wants to reveal. He wants to display who he is. The king of God's kingdom has come. The kingdom of God is bursting into the darkness of our world. The kingdom of God has come to drive back the power of darkness, to reverse the effects of the fall in our lives and in our world. That's why he's healing. That's why he's freeing people from demonic oppression. That's why he's laying claim to these things. And then you read verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Let them see what's happening. Let them see who really stands before them. Consider carefully what you hear. And then he continues, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has much will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Jesus ends with a warning. You see there, verse 23, verse 24. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. The king of God's kingdom is making himself known like light. Do you see the light? It's being brought out in the open more and more. And so how you respond to Jesus reveals your heart, the soil present in your heart. It's revealing and dividing listeners, right? It's revealing those who are sick and who are coming to Jesus as sinners in need of forgiveness. It's revealing as well the Pharisees and the religious leaders. We saw them last week, the Pharisees and religious leaders. It's revealing the soul of their hearts because they're rejecting Jesus. They're opposing him. And we're going to see that in Mark's gospel as we continue. We're going to see the soil of the hearts of his hearers more and more revealed as light comes, as light dawns in the life of Jesus. And so we're warned, be careful how you respond to the light. Be careful how you hear and respond to Jesus, the King of God's kingdom, because you will be judged accordingly. And so you see, verse 25, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. It's an economic principle, right? And you know the principle, because we say it all the time, the rich always get rich and the poor always get poorer. Well, it's an economic principle that's not just true in our world, it's also true in the spiritual world. Because those who don't hear Jesus well, those who don't listen to Jesus well, those who remain indifferent to Jesus, those who constantly reject him, those who remain divided and half-hearted in their love for him will find themselves spiritually poor. Even what they have, the seed of God's word given to them, placed in their lives, even that will be taken from them and they will be left with nothing. They will not get the king or his kingdom. But those who have and who hold on to it, who retain it, they will have much, much more. Here is the warning. Everyone here is the King of God's kingdom. He is so generous, isn't he, that he sows on all kinds of soil. He sows liberally on all kinds of soil. His word comes to the soil of every heart offering forgiveness of sin. His word comes generously to all soils offering rest from your work because he has worked to save you. His word comes generously, coming as words giving rest to those who are guilty, offering rest from their guilt because of his work for them. His word comes generously to all soils offering his rule, his power, his authority. And if the king has spoken to you so generously as he does each week, as you come to church each week, as you go to Bible study each week, as his word comes and pours itself out in our lives each week, be careful that you don't turn a blind eye to the king. Be careful that you don't have deaf ears to the king. Because here we warn that the one who snubs the king, the one who rejects the king, the one who is unprepared to be committed to the king will lose everything. The one who receives and embraces and welcomes and accepts the king will have everything to gain and much more. That's the warning. Here's the thing. Everyone hears, but not everyone listens to Jesus. And it's true, isn't it? That's why Jesus says in this parable, listen carefully. The parable is actually meant to challenge us as hearers, right? As hearers, God's king has come, his rule has come. He offers rest from our good works to trust in his work. He offers us rest from our guilt because he's dealt with our guilt and sin of the cross. He offers us salvation. He says, trust in my finished work. He comes to free and release those who live under the bondage of Satan. Jesus has come to rule, to bring in the kingdom of God, to forgive and to save. And his word comes to us in abundance. The sower is so generous as he speaks to us each week. Well, you're hearing Jesus, but are you actually listening to him? Did you hear that? You're hearing Jesus, but are you actually listening to him? Have you received him with open arms as your king? Have you embraced him as your highest treasure and security in life? Have you welcomed him into your life? You see, have you accepted his saving work? That's what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus says, check your hearing. Check your hearing. Do a soil test because sometimes, here it is, sometimes those on the inside are actually shown to be outsiders. Did you hear that? Sometimes those on the inside, over a period of time, are shown to be outsiders, like the bad soil. The word falls on all present and is disclosing the soil of our hearts in the way we respond to Jesus. And notice how failure to respond rightly to Jesus come in different ways. Some seed is lost immediately. It doesn't get in the soil of our lives. Some seed is lost eventually. If the soil of our lives, you know, it looks good, it gets in a little bit, but it never grows deep roots, so it dies out. Some seed is choked out, it's crushed out, really, by thorns, by other priorities in life, by pleasure, by wealth, a whole host of things. And so you've got these four soils, right? And we're called to ask these questions, like the soil along the path. Here's the first one, right? You see there? Has it occurred to you that we can actually be like the unresponsive soil along the path? Nothing sinks in. We are unmoved, untouched as we meet Jesus each week, as we see his work, as we hear his word. We won't pursue Jesus. We don't want to strive more to find out more. We're not interested. That's the soil along the path. And verse 15 actually serves as a warning. And it's a warning because notice the birds come and they take the seed immediately. It's a warning to us, and we discover there that the bird is an allusion to Satan. Satan is a danger to those who hear indifferently, who face to face with Jesus respond with instant rejection when they hear his word. Like the birds who voraciously devour the seeds, Satan feeds off those who reject Jesus. The teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious, the Herodians, we saw them last week, who when they saw and heard Jesus, what did they want to do? They only wanted to destroy him. So some people, they hear Jesus. No matter what Jesus says or do, they will always reject him. And why do they reject him? Because Satan has blinded them. You read 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age has blinded unbelievers so they do not see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. They don't see him as king, and they reject him. Now, some of us, we might actually be like soil on rocky ground. The soil beneath our hearts is shallow, filled with rocks. There's a limestone base under the soil. And you see that in verse 16 and verse 17. And it's very easy to be deceived. I'll tell you why it's easy to be deceived. Because when it comes to Jesus, sometimes there's growth, there's joy, there's enthusiasm. It looks promising, but the roots have never grown deep. And, you know, it takes deep root to flourish and to grow, right? For growth to be continuous, right? It needs deep roots. And so what actually happens here is that there's joy, but over time, when difficulty comes, when trial, adversity come, when there is heat in life and pressure in life, you walk away. You walk away from Jesus. When the roots are not deep, when there's no deep roots, the plant actually shrivels and dies, you see, because it's rocky ground. And you know, you can actually be like rocky ground and not realize it, because when your faith is challenged, wherever God has placed you, and you have no deep roots, you'll walk away. Following Jesus is too hard, too inconvenient, too demanding. That's why sometimes people walk away. The demands of Jesus are just too hard. The Christian life is too hard. There's too much sacrifice. And when that happens, it reveals rocky ground. It looked good on the outside, but beneath it was rock. Now, you're going to see that in Mark's gospel as we work through Mark's gospel, because you'll notice the crowds flock to Jesus. They are excited about his teaching and miracles. We've seen that in the last few weeks. And when you get to chapter 12 of Mark's gospel, towards the end of the gospel, you find that the crowds are flocking to Jesus. There are heaps of them. They are filled with great rejoicing as Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, right? There's massive crowds. But right after chapter 12, it all fizzles out. You know why? Because suffering comes. Even the disciples of Jesus, they run. Do you know that? They ran away in the face of difficulty in chapter 14 because they didn't want to suffer. They run because they're afraid of getting arrested. They're more concerned about their safety and their lives. Peter, not Peter Hughes, but Peter, the great apostle, he stands at a distance because he doesn't want to be associated with Jesus. He denies Jesus three times. The rocky soil is a warning that the seed of God's word must grow deep and take deep roots if we are to endure trial, difficulty, and suffering and opposition. Jesus never promised, did he, an easy road. In Mark chapter 8, the demands of following him are laid on his disciples. And he says, if anyone would come after me and follow me, he must what? He must deny himself. He must take up a cross and follow me. You see, he says, there is a Jerusalem road to walk. There is trial, there is affliction. You see, suffering in our lives is always a test of where we anchor in life. Suffering in our lives is a test of where we have placed roots, right? Where we have placed roots to find our security and our stability in life. And so it reveals where we have sunk our roots in Jesus, our King, and all that he's promised us, or in something else. That's what it reveals. It reveals whether the soil of our hearts is rocky ground. Then you've got the third soil, like soil on thorny ground. Sometimes we can be like the soil that's filled with weeds and thorns and not even realize it. Notice what happens. Worry, materialism, pleasure, wealth, they crowd out. They push out Jesus in our lives. I was reading a book this week by a guy called David Garland. And this is what he says, right? He says, many in the church would like to have it both ways. Many in the church, we love to have it both ways, right? To have wealth or at least a comfortable lifestyle, and also to be faithful to God. You hear that? We want it both ways. We want a comfortable lifestyle, but we also want to be faithful to God. And we try to pursue both equally. And that really got me, you know, he said, and we try to pursue both equally. Did you get that? That's our problem. We want both equally. That's the problem, he says. It's not that we haven't received the word of Jesus. It's not that we haven't welcomed and embraced Jesus in our lives. We want him and we want the world, both equally. That, he says, is the problem. And so you remember, right, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, you know, you can't serve two masters in life. It's absurd, right, trying to follow two forks in the road. You can't walk two ways in the road, going left and right at the same time. Impossible. And that's the whole point, right? You cannot pursue Jesus and pursue the world at the same time. It will strangle and cripple and crush and extinguish your commitment to Jesus. Peter DeVries wrote a novel called The Macro Plaza. And this is how he describes how people live. He's not describing Christians. Okay, he does eventually, but he's not describing Christians. He said, this is how people live. People live a kind of hand-to-mouth luxury, right? We work really to fuel our luxuries in life, never knowing where the next quarterly installment of taxes or the payment of the third car is coming from, because we just want to buy. Most know firsthand the well-known axiom that your yearnings always exceed your earnings. Right, what we desire always exceeds our earnings. And in our consumer-oriented society, a faith that calls for sacrifice and service for others soon takes a back seat. Because our yearnings exceed our earnings, we never want to sacrifice to serve and love and provide for others because we're only thinking of ourselves. And then he writes, those who are satisfied with their level of commitment to God, but never satisfied with the abundance of what they have or have not got, they will never bear harvest worth taking away. And then he says, there's a glut of how-to books flooding the market, which promises to teach the buyer how to relax their way to success, to be energetic and beautiful, to win big money, unlimited power, and control over others. It actually reveals that we live in a narcissistic age. In other words, we live in an age where we live only for ourselves. And then here's the quote. Many Christians travel so heavily laden with concerns for such things in their walk with God, in their own walk with God, that they soon drop back and then drop out. Let me read that again. Many Christians, they travel so heavily laden with these concerns in their own walk with God that they soon drop back. They take a step back in the Christian life. And as they do that, they eventually drop out. That's what he's saying. That's the seed that falls on thorny ground. We want both equally. And it can't, and it doesn't work like that in the Christian life. And soon, like overcrowded soil, you have the veneer, the face of religion, which is why you're here on Sunday. You have the veneer of religion. But there's nothing underneath, you see. There's no love for Jesus, no gospel priority, no cross-shaped living. The thorny ground is crowded soil because you're trying to pursue both equally. And it just does not work. You end up choking the place of the Lord Jesus out of your life. And you also have that in Mark's gospel, you know that? Because the story of Herod in chapter 6, we'll see him in chapter 6. In chapter 6, Herod, you know, Herod initially responded positively. He hears the word gladly, but he has a greater desire and concern to preserve his honor, his name, his power. And so he rejects John the Baptist and his message and the Lord Jesus. And then you meet another guy, right? You meet another guy in chapter 10, the rich young ruler that a lot of you have heard of. The rich young ruler, he's an example of thorny ground. He's positive. He comes to Jesus because he wants to follow Jesus. He's another example. He's got a great concern to follow Jesus, but then he's also got an equally great concern for material possessions and wealth and gain. And so he doesn't respond to Jesus' call. He walks another road. And then finally, in Mark's gospel, you've got the tragic story of Judas, haven't you? He's one of the 12 disciples. He walked with Jesus. He was growing, but 30 pieces of silver choked his commitment to Jesus. And at the end of the book, he's no longer there. You find those soils in the life of Jesus as well. And finally, you've got the soil that's good. And sometimes, and here's the great thing, there's always good soil. How do you know that the soil of your heart is good? Well, look at verse 20. He hears the word, he accepts it, and it produces a crop. And this is how you know when the soil is good, isn't it? The king speaks and it's heard deeply, it's received, it's accepted, it's welcomed, and it bears fruit. See, the king and his kingdom is received, welcome, embrace, and the effects of the rule of Jesus comes out in this ground. the rule of the king is evident in this ground, because if you have welcomed Jesus, if you've embraced his word, if you've surrendered to what he offers, there will be a life change, a life lived under the rule of the king. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, bad soil does not hear rightly. Bad soil, it sees and it hears, but there is no warmth or attraction to Jesus. It sees and it hears, but there is no long-term commitment to Jesus. It sees and it hears, but there is no priority or surrender to Jesus' kingship because it has other loves. That's bad soil. But good soil hears rightly. It sees and hears, and guess what? Good soil welcomes the word immediately, right? So that it cannot be snatched away. Good soil, it welcomes the word deeply. Right? It welcomes the word deeply so that when persecution and hardship and trouble come, it stays firm. Good soil, it welcomes the word exclusively so that other concerns and treasures don't strangle it. It says this word is the most important word. That is how Jesus is to be received and embraced and welcomed and accepted as King in our lives. Let me encourage you this morning. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear Jesus. Because in hearing, the soil of your heart is being revealed. The word falls on all present and is disclosing the soil of our hearts by our response to Jesus. May we not just hear, may we listen. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning as we open up your word, we do pray for ourselves here in our church community at Grace Point. We hear your word each week. The rain of your word falls into our lives so generously. We hear words of grace and forgiveness. We hear words of assurance and hope. And we do want to pray this morning that as the generosity of your word comes into our lives, help us be mindful. Help us reject seed and soil that's like the walking path in our lives. Help us reject seed and soil that is like the rocky ground in our lives. Help us reject seeded soil that's like the thorny ground in our life. We want to be like good soil. That when we hear Jesus, we want to hear, we want to accept, we want to welcome him, we want to receive him, we want to embrace him immediately, deeply, and exclusively. And so we pray, we ask that you help us do this so that we may bear much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.